If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up on your goals, your business, your ideal life, but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Welcome to Cafe with Monica. This is episode 35. I am Monica, your host, a millennial counselor helping millennials to hashtag just talk about it over coffee. In this episode, I have the ladies of the Modern Day Mujeres podcast, and I'm so excited because they're going to share their journey. We're going to talk about what it means to be a Latina and just some of their personal struggles. So I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited, you guys, because today I have the ladies of the Modern Day Mujeres podcast. I want to introduce these ladies. They are just so amazing. They are Latina women on a mission to be your voice and make their voices be heard. They touch on so many amazing topics on their podcast. Liz is this beautiful mama and wife with a lot of spunk, and this girl is here to tell you the hard truth. Melanie is so sweet. She is a single gal raised and born in Texas, a full-time financial account manager, and hopes to inspire and encourage women. I'm so excited to have you guys today.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
And I just love, so we all met previously, right? We all met at a coffee shop, and I just love, it was kind of like a therapy session.
Oh my God.
It really was. Like tears were, yep, it all happened.
It got emotional.
Yeah, and I loved it. I actually loved it. And shout out to your friend Gabby. She was also there. And
of course.
I loved her too. She just, y'all just bring this amazing energy. And that's why I asked y'all to come here into the podcast and just tell us a little bit about your story. I really want to know kind of your individual journeys to how you all became what you are now, right? Mm-hmm. And something that I like to ask my guests, which is a kind of, it's new, but I want you to tell me who you were, who you are now, and where you want to be.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Melanie, do you want to start?
Sure,
you can start
I'll go
with
first.
The first one. So, like, tell me who you were.
So, who I was, very not confident in myself, very fearful of everything. You know, I have always wanted to be a business person. I always wanted to have a business. I don't know how many business plans I've written, and I've never gone through with them because I always back out. So I've always been afraid of that. And starting the whole podcast in Modern Day Mujeres has been a step in the direction of wanting to start that business type of thing. So it's giving me a lot more confidence in myself. I'm not as fearful. Yeah, I fear some things, but I'm just like, you know what? We're going to do it. And it's helpful when you have somebody next to you to help push you. I didn't have that support beforehand. It was support in the way that, yeah, go ahead and do it. Yeah. But it was nobody ever pushing me to do it. So I was not very confident in myself. So I was always fearful that I was going to fail. I don't want a business and then it's going to fail and then I'm looking like an idiot.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have those fears, like those insecurities about like what's going to happen, and that kind of stops them from even moving forward with their goals. So here you girl, been there, done that. So who are you now?
I'm more confident in myself. I don't let people walk all over me. I used to do that a lot. I used to be a yes person to everything and to everyone. And I still kind of am in a way, but I've learned to be dominant in my words.
Yes.
So I say what I need to say, and that's that.
And who do you want to be?
I want to be a little bit more soft in that. So I have learned how to be a little bit more dominant, but I don't know how to do it softly.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah, there has to be a balance to be able to be powerful and bold, but also in a way that's gentle and that gives people this, like, not
being intimidated about you, but just being inspired and just, like, admire you. I love that.
Yeah, just because, you know, you hear that where people are, they put their foot down and because they've been walked over their whole life, right? Mm-hmm. And so they learn to just, okay, I'm never letting that happen again. And then they turn around and they're just this complete 180 person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's me now without having that softness. And so that's what I want to be.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You're going to get there, girl. And we'll get into that a little bit about rigid boundaries and how we create those things for us. So I love that. So tell me who you were, Liz.
Who I was? I was the opposite as Mel. I was strong-headed, coming forward, like in your face. Like, you know, there was a point in my life where that's what I had to do for some reason to, I guess, make up for certain insecurities in myself. So I had to come strong in certain ways, especially when I used to work for corporate America. And, you know, I felt like that's how I had to climb, you know, to become and grow within the company, is I had to stand on my own 2 feet and then just, like, literally, like, like I had a wall built almost that, you know, I'm not going to show you that I'm scared of this or I'm afraid of that. Like, I'm me, you know? And then that just slowly started turning into someone I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like, that was becoming almost like my toxic traits in myself that I didn't know. Like, I had to really look into myself and be like, okay, like, you can be this way, but at what cost, and what is it going to cost you? So it has taken me to have lost that job, to have now being a stay-at-home mom, which was a complete, like, almost 180, because I was so this independent woman doesn't need anybody, you know, to becoming a stay-at-home mom, not as so much as dependable, but I had to change in the way that I had certain outlooks. So I had to kind of, like, stop and, like, breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole thing in itself. Like, it's an identity change. Mm-hmm. It's also, like, in corporate America, and especially being a Latina woman, being a woman mm-hmm. in such a very high, like, dominated man, you know, man roles in corporate America, it's like you got to be, like, you know, at your A game, you gotta show up your mm-hmm. chin high and make sure that, like, you're not gonna mess with me. Like, you
yeah.
know, so,
yeah.
And then, you know, losing that job and, like, mm-hmm. having to, okay, so now I'm a stay-at-home mom. That is my identity. So how does that make me feel? Am I losing my independence? Am I, like, what, how do I navigate this?
Yeah.
So where are you now? So with that, you mentioned having, like, all that stuff happen.
Well, after all that stuff happened, I had to really take a look into myself and realize, okay, where do I want to go from here? Mm-hmm. I had a, you know, a talk with my husband. It's like, all right now going back to work isn't really an option. Childcare is not cheap. Mm-hmm. And for me, even given that choice or the opportunity to choose to be there and watch my son grow, there was no doubt in my mind. If that was the option I could take and just hold on to him a little bit longer as a baby and just watch him, then I would take the opportunity, even if it meant, okay, there's just a few things on the back burner for us. So I made those options. And so it just started teaching me a lot about myself. And it's like, all right, what do I want to make of this? And, you know, with the podcast itself, I wanted to make a community. I wanted to find a sisterhood in what we've gone through, what I've gone through, and, you know, in the hopes that my story isn't just the only one out there, that I know other moms have felt, you know, the same way I have, or just women in general, you know. So it was just kind of there. It took a lot of self-growth, and now, like, I've learned to not just be so upfront because I can, but also step back and take a moment and be like, okay, like, just because I'm this way doesn't mean, like, I have to, like, push that onto other people, you know, like, almost like a, here, girl, like, you got it, like, I know you can do it, because I know I can, you know. So it's like learning that of myself is like, okay, like, back up a little bit.
Yeah, and that is so hard, because I feel, I mean, even me in my journey, I felt like, okay, if I can do it, they can do it. Like, if I am being a chingona and I can do this shit, like, you better get your big girl panties and do it. Like, you know, but sometimes, and that's what's taught me as a therapist, it's like, not everybody has the exact same path. And even though, like, I've gotten less frustrated, become more patient.
That's
because of that.
That's me.
Yeah. So where do you want to be?
I guess I want to be at a point that I'm so, like, happy with the growth I've made to reflect back on it and be able to, you know, even be possibly, like, some sort of motivation for one woman or two, you know, and be like, oh, well, she was a stay-at-home mom. She made this of it, and for the better, you know, or whatever. Like, it's not an easy road, but at the end of it, like, you'll see an outcome for what you've put into it, you know? So, like, with, like I said, like, with the podcast, that's what I have the hopes for, is, like you said, inspiring other Latinas, and hope that we can be their voice.
I love that. You guys share similar values and mission. So tell me how you guys got together. Because, I mean, I feel like, okay, because you share a similar mission and value, how did y'all met? How did Liz and Melanie happen? Because now I'm sure people call you, oh, yeah, you're Liz and Mel. Like, now you're, like, a unit. But I know you still have their individual roles in the podcast. So how did y'all meet?
So we met through a mutual friend, Gabby, the one that you met. So Gabby and I had met through some other friends of ours, and we went out to, like, an EDM concert.
Oh my, okay, I thought it was going to be just a regular concert. This is what I was told. And this
is, they just told me to wear a white shirt.
Yeah, the same. They told it, wear all white, and it's going to be a concert, and I even, like, convinced my husband to come. And she's like, oh, you have to meet Mel. Like, you're going to love her. And da, da, da. And I was like, okay, I'm so excited. Because seriously, Gabby, like, talked her up. I was like, all right, we're going to be best friends. And shortly after that, yeah, it was a rave with, like, paint just being thrown at everybody. It it was a hot mess.
It, but was, it was all night.
It was so much fun, though.
I was like, I'm too old for this. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was so much fun.
And that's how we met.
That's so cool. That's that's a cool story to tell.
And then every time, like, Liz would have a party, like, she would invite us, like, get together. We would always go to that. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
and thanks, even when Gabby. I moved to and even when I moved to San Antonio, like, we always kept in touch.
We kept in touch. Really nice. Yeah, she came from San Antonio to my baby shower, and I was like, all right, we're friends forever.
This is it. Yep. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And then so, you guys have both inspirations to help other women. How did you guys talk to each other, like, about, okay, we're going to start a podcast now? Like, how did that happen?
It was just an idea. Well, like, I wanted to just speak on my experiences of what I had gone through, like, going through a breakup and then having to, like, literally start your whole life all over again. Having to come back home with no money, no car, no job, nothing. And so I really wanted to put the word out there just for women to just kind of take care of themselves, you know, like, be safe, like, you know, secure your own bag, girl, like, don't depend on no man. And so that's what my, that's what I wanted to do. And then she wanted to, she had been on a podcast previously, Liz had been on a podcast previously, and so I thought it was so cool. And so I brought up the idea, and she was like, we should do one together. And I was like, yes, let's do it. So you know, that's just how that came about. It was just like boom, 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 fast. Like, we bought equipment, like, the next day we were already recording.
Yeah,
that is so awesome.
Without having known anything,
girl, we were like literally recording and we were still looking up YouTube videos, like, how do we do this? And then we posted the next day.
Did you guys, like, so, because I had to re-record myself my first episode. I was, like, doubting myself. But did you guys do that? Or did you guys, like, I don't know. And even with, like, hearing myself back, I'm like, oh, my God, why did I sound like
You hadn't
like
found
that?
Your voice yet. No, the very first episode we recorded, we, you know, hooked up the mics. We recorded about, like, an hour.
Oh, my God, I remember this.
We recorded about an hour. And then so, like, oh, let's hear some playback. Oh my God, it was terrible. Only one mic was
like out for like 5 hours.
Yeah, because we were recording at my house, and I was like, okay, you gotta leave because I gotta record. and he takes the kids and we're recording, and then we play back and we had not, like, one mic was, you can hear, and the other one was so shitty.
It was terrible. So there we go again, looking up YouTube videos. It was a mess, but we figured it out. Yeah. I think we also had, like, a script or something like that, and we don't really script anything.
Yeah.
So...
it's really hard, because I feel like I sound so monotone reading, like, I don't know how to put, yeah, like, emphasis or whatever into it, so I'm like, all right, we're just gonna, you know.
Let's just do this.
Let's just do it.
Yeah. You just gotta do what works for you, and, yeah, like, uh-huh, for me, like, total opposite. Like, because I'm a systems kind of girl, mm-hmm, and I like to be prepared for stuff, mm-hmm, even though, like, some of the questions that I do, like, research on, mm-hmm, I'm like, okay, I just want to make sure if, like, I just hear crickets, and I saw clients this morning, my bad, or, like, my podcast guest just, like, completely freaks out. I at least have a question to ask them.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. So it was pretty much trial and error. Y'all just...
a lot of trial and error.
Decided to do it, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, when the best decisions happen, when you're just, like...
hey, don't, yeah, think twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was. It was just don't think twice about it. Mm-hmm. So...
and so now you're pretty much creating a community for women here in Dallas, or not even further than Dallas, because, yeah, I know in your 2020 episode, your first episode, y'all were talking about all these different countries and, yeah, like, states that, mm-hmm, other people are listening. So how does that make y'all feel?
Oh, my God. I feel like crying.
Overwhelming. It's overwhelming in a good sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I was just thinking, like, our friends were listening.
Yeah.
Like, had no idea that people outside of our community were even, like, listening to us. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to hear or to see that people in other countries, other states, everywhere are listening to us.
Mm-hmm. How did your parents react to this? Or, like, if any of your parents knew, because my mom is like, ¿Cómo le haces el iPod or whatever? And, like, now she's, like, my number one fan. Thanks, Mom. She was, like, my listener from day one.
I love that.
But so how did you guys, like, your parents react or family members?
My parents, they are very supportive. Like, they're just like, you're just going to do whatever you're going to do anyway, so, mm-hmm, whatever. They didn't really know what a podcast was. My dad was on, what, mm-hmm, the third episode when we did the Father's Day? Did a Father's Day episode, mm-hmm, so her husband was on it, and my dad was on it. But he had no idea. He just thought the mics were cool. Like, my dad loves listening to himself. Like, even if I record him on Snapchat or Instagram, he loves hearing himself. So he was like, let me hear. I'm like, whatever. And he's like, so who's going to listen? And I'm like, whoever is subscribed, like, they're, yeah, all going to listen. And I think now they're getting to the point where they're like, wow, people are really listening. But they, mm-hmm, have not listened to one episode because they don't. I think my mom, I overheard her the other day that she was, like, at the nail salon. She was talking to the lady about, oh, my daughter has a podcast, and, you know, she has a lot of listeners and, aww, all this other stuff. And, like, I was, like, literally wanting to cry because my mom never talks about, like, good stuff about me. I mean, like, she probably does, but I never hear her, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was like, yeah, it's called Modern Day Mujeres. She's like, I've never listened to it because I think that's too personal, and I don't want to get into that. And I was like, yeah, that's true. Like, please don't listen to this.
That was always the fear of mine because, like, just like you mentioned, like, my mom, I mean, growing up, it was difficult to show, like, that affection or, mm-hmm, like, appreciation. Mm-hmm. And so just her telling me, I listened to this, like, oh, it was really good, or I shared this, mm-hmm, with someone, it felt really great. But, yeah, that's all really that you need, like.
Yeah, just acknowledgement. Like, you, yeah, know what I'm doing. Because, uh-huh, even, like, this morning they called me, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting ready to go record. And so it's normal for them now. Mm-hmm. So they know we record.
They know what it is.
But, yeah, it's really, I just need that. I don't know. It's like a validation.
Almost, yeah, from your closest,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, even when my mom likes a picture on Instagram, I'm like, yes, my mom saw it.
They could be, like, so many other people who liked it, but when, like, that close person to you, yeah, it hits home. But,
it does.
Yeah, like, for me, my mom knows what it is, but she doesn't as much, like, acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law, on the other hand, she's just like, yes, like, are you recording again? Or, like, she'll know, like, oh, did you come from recording? I was like, yeah. So, like, she knows what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, like, to the extent of what it is, not as much. I think it just comes from, it's something that they don't, it's, like, almost, yeah, like the internet from when, like, you know, it's just, like, something's, like, my kids will never know what dial-up is, you know? So it's, that same type of...
they'll never know, like, the little AOL thing. Yeah. Where you had to, like... They'll never know. I hope some of the listeners know...
what dial-up is.
Because the struggle was real. Like, seriously. I had so much patience back then. Now it's like... the Wi-Fi is not working, and you're like, what the heck? Why is it not working?
Oh, my God. That happened to me the other day. I was like, what is wrong with my Wi-Fi?
Calls AT&T automatically. Yeah, and I think right now, like, for the most part, like, it's my kids that know I have a podcast, and they think it's the coolest ever, but especially my daughter. And I was like, yeah, you just need to grow up a little bit before you listen to it, because she'll ask me, what is it called? I'm like, I'm not telling you, and don't go look it up.
Yeah.
But my husband's support has been the most, like... that I have ever cared about, to be honest. His support and hearing him saying congratulations on your future and congratulations on you know, I think that, like, when he's the one out of anybody, I think is what, like, gets to me. Like, I, like, want to cry because, honestly, he does so much. Like, he will watch the kids. I need to record from this time to this time, or I don't even have
he's
a time.
So supportive in that way, and I don't think he really realizes that.
Oh, like, I know. Yeah. And I try to, you know, remind him, and I tell him, thank you so much. Like, you don't know how this is, you know, makes me feel having your support, because I really don't have that much support outside of my husband. And so when it comes to him being like, you're doing great, like, keep going, I'm here for you. Okay, like, whatever what everyone else has to say, to me, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's like he's speaking your love language, but I think it sounds like acts of service and words of affirmation. I don't know if y'all have taken your love languages test, but it is so cool. And yeah, like, even just doing that act of, like, taking the kids out and knowing and valuing your time, like, he's seeing this as, like, my girl's got work to do. She needs these kids out so that she can get her stuff and that, you know, she can share her purpose and her mission with other women. So I love that.
Hello, my fellow millennial. This is Monica. I hope you're enjoying this episode. Quick break here. If you're new or have been an active listener to the podcast, I would love to work with you. I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, and I have officially launched my private practice in Dallas, where I provide individual therapy both in person or online if you're in Texas. I work with female millennial entrepreneurs. I work with individuals who are struggling with anxiety, depression, self-esteem, and overall life transitions. I work with the Latinx population, and my sessions are available in Spanish. I know it's hard to just the thought of having somebody, an outsider, inside your life, but if you're feeling like you're not sure if therapy's a right fit for you, I offer a free 15-minute consultation so I can answer all your questions. It's okay to have fear. I've been there, and that's why I would love to help. I'll have a link for the 15-minute consultation on the show notes, or you can also find the link at my Instagram account at Cafe with Monica. So sign up for a free 15-minute consultation. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, and let's get back to this episode.
Even just doing that act of, like, taking the kids out and knowing and valuing your time, like, he's seeing this as, like, my girl's got work to do. She needs these kids out so that she can get her stuff and that, you know, she can share her purpose and her mission with other women. So I love that. And you did mention, like, not having a lot of support. So with, you know, in other avenues. So, like, how... when that does happen, when you guys see, when you're in a rut, right, like, even just in, like, in everyday life, who are the people that you lean into, and how do you deal with maybe not having support from family in that sense?
Well, for me, I do speak on it just because I don't want that to be a purpose that people feel like they can't do something just because they don't have that support from X, Y, and Z. You know, don't let that be something that leaves you unmotivated. Let that be the factor of your motivation in a way. Because if I waited on getting someone's approval anytime I wanted to do something, I would not do it. And that's the thing that for me, if it doesn't come from even the closest of friends or family, that's fine. You know, at the end of the day, let that be more of a reason to do it, you know, to make, like, my younger self, like, happy. Like, you ultimately had a goal in mind, and you always think dreams don't come true or like it's not going to happen for you, but that mindset, you have to change it one way or another, and it starts with you. You can't wait on other people for it.
Yeah.
So like for me, it's my husband. My husband, there's you know, times I message Melanie like, dude, there's just, I'm feeling this type of way, you know, or my best friend, Gabby. They're really the closest people that I can just go to and be like, okay, like, I need me time, or I'm not feeling good, or whatever. And but knowing that I can trust them with what is going on, whether it's just hear me out or like, how do I fix this? Or, you know, ultimately, you do have to just rely on yourself in a way to push it, because no one will always feel how you feel except yourself. Like, it's just like an outside person looking in. It's just not the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like just focusing that you're doing this for yourself. I think like that's what I've had to realize. Like, Monica, even no one is listening to this, that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about you guys, but I get so giddy whenever I like listen to the podcast and I'm like, oh yeah, I said that sounds so cool. Yeah, girl. Yeah, I did this.
Same.
You know, even seriously, no one is listening. I mean, it's great to get that outside external validation. Especially from like your husband or, you know, the people that you care about.
Yeah, of course.
But when you value yourself and you know that you're confident, like you mentioned, you're more confident now, Melanie, that just continues to thrive you and make you just a better woman, a better person in other aspects of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, Melanie, have you ever had any struggles with like not feeling supported or like what... How do you get your, if someone's not supporting you on a goal, how do you get yourself to be motivated?
It has to be important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure that it's something that I really want to do and it's something that aligns with me and myself, like my goals. Yes, it's nice to have like friends to like be there and push you and tell you all the great things that you want to hear, but it's literally like Liv said, it's within yourself, you know? I have not always had the support of family and friends. And so it's in the past, like I said, I was always fearful. Like I needed that validation from them, you know, starting businesses. I would tell people and they're like, cool, like thumbs up. And it's like, aren't you proud? Like they don't really care, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel, have always felt of like myself. Like I've never been important. Like, I don't know how to...
Like that self-doubt?
Yeah. I've never felt like whatever I wanted was good enough. So it literally took me having to, like, go through shit, basically, and saying, you know what? I matter. And that's that. And telling myself that, you know, I'm gonna freaking do this. So, and that's... I mean, I feel like I support myself.
Exactly. Great. Yeah. No, I don't like the word shoulds. I think that is what... keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know, when you support yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, you're in this, you know, on your own. Like, you walk your own life. Like, you're the one. Your reactions are your own. Like, that's what I always tell my clients. Like, your actions and reactions, like, you cannot change somebody else's actions or reactions, but you can change how you react to them and what you do. You can let that get to you, or you can say, you know what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what this person says. It doesn't matter. This person doesn't support me. I'm in this, and I have a purpose, and that is to help women, and that is to share my story, because my story is important. Yeah. So I love that. So going back to creating a community, right, of women who inspire other women, encourage other women, I wanted to focus, because I know, like, y'all do mention a lot about your identity, right, like being Latinas. So what does that mean to you all being Latinas versus what people think Latinas should be or,
To me, being Latina, I'm Mexican. I nacida en Mexico. I was brought to the United States when I was like 2-3 years old. So it was, as growing up, was a little bit of a, almost like an identity, kind of trying to figure out what that really meant. Because in, like, I guess my childhood, in a way, it, you know, I was raised on, you know, with my grandparents, and I was raised, you know, with Spanish speaking grandparents. And so as I got older and, you know, I learned English, and I got older and I realized, or I got told, are you American? I was like, well, yeah, I think so, you know? And, you know, me not knowing, I think this is probably like at the age of like 8, 9, or 10. And then bringing the question back to my parents and then finding out, like, no, you weren't born here, like you were born in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Had I not known that, I think maybe it would have changed in the way of how proud I would be mm-hmm. of my heritage, my culture, and being born in Mexico. So for the longest, as I grew up and, you know, I met more of my family that would come visit from Mexico. And as I got older, I'd lost my Spanish. I lost my Spanish, and there would be times that I could not really speak Spanish as properly and as fluent as I would have liked. And so I would get make fun of my accent in Spanish. They're like, no, hombre, esta es mexicana y no puede hablar bien. Like, you know, they're just clown on me constantly. Yeah. And I'm like, well, shit, does that make me any less?
Yeah, does that make you not Latina?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Does that not, like, count?
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I got older, I was like, all right, I'm, you know, taking Spanish classes in school and stuff like that. And I just remember being like, okay, you know, I get made fun of that my English isn't accented. Like, I don't sound like I'm Mexican. Or, you know, you sound so white. And I'm just like, what does that even mean? And yeah. So it was almost a struggle because I wanted to be Mexicana. I wanted to represent that in the way that I best knew, but I didn't have the representation of what it meant because, I don't know, like, I can properly articulate my vocabulary. So mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, oh, like, you're not Mexicana. Like, you don't sound like it. And it's just been a struggle within, but I've learned to be okay with what is me, you know? And that doesn't mean I have to speak a certain way or sound a certain way to be Latina, or I have to had been looking some type of way. I don't know. It was like probably growing up was difficult, like learning that, and then learning that, oh, well, also you're not a citizen. Like, you can't work properly. And that goes back to like a lot of other things that they're like, oh, okay, well, you have to do this to be able to work and, you know, working on, you know, getting my residency and stuff like that. So it's been a struggle, but I've accepted myself for who I am. And I'm probably like the most Latina person. And that's just like what you make of it. Yeah. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be where you were born. How do you speak? How do you look? Especially like for now, my daughter, like mm-hmm. showing her, like, you have to be confident. Yes, like, you're Mexican-American, and she's like, but why? And, like, explaining that, and I do the best I can to explain to her, like, this is why you're Mexican-American, and so she knows her identity as that, but you make it however you want, whatever makes you feel you, yeah. Claim it, own yeah, it, you know? I think that's just been a journey, like, even now. From yeah. time to time, I have to make sure, like, yes, I'm Mexicana, and yes, I can speak proper English. It's just, you know,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. And like, that doesn't make me less Latina.
Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah.
What about you, Mel?
I think Latina for me is probably quite the opposite from her. I was born and raised here in Texas. My parents were born and raised here. My grandparents were. So we just were, you know, third, fourth, fifth generation Americans. So it was really hard for me to kind of understand my Latina-ness, because even though my family does speak Spanish, we are Hispanic, it was hard to identify as that, especially growing up in a predominantly white neighborhood with the last name Rodriguez. Yeah. So it was hard because people were like, well, you don't look Hispanic. Well, because I didn't. I was really white and have freckles, you know, like I didn't look like that. I didn't have olive skin. I didn't have, you know, I didn't look like my brother. My brother looks Hispanic, you know, he really does. If you're going to mm-hmm. put in the category, he does. He looks Hispanic. I didn't. And so it was really hard for me to kind of like fit in with the Hispanic group at school because they never believed me. No, I'm serious. Yeah. They're like, you're Hispanic mm-hmm. because my name is Melanie. It's sounds white. I mean, let's just go there. It is, you know. My middle name is Leanne. It's white, too. So, you know, if we're really going to go there, that's what it is. And so I remember going to driver's ed, and the driving instructor, she was white. She was like, why did your mom name you Melanie? And I was like, wow. So I went home, and I was like, Mom, why did you name me Melanie? She's like, why would somebody ask that? And why I was like, care? I don't know. She just wanted to know. She was like, what were they expecting you to be named? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, and so, like, that never, like, registered to me, like, why people were like that. But I think it took me moving to San Antonio and being around more Hispanic people to really kind of appreciate my Latinaness, because I found so many other people like me. I was like, oh my God, I feel so, like, and that's why I call it home, because I'm like, I've never felt more at home than there, because my family was like that. Like, if I'm at home at my parents' house, like, that's home, right? We speak Spanglish. We eat tortillas. We eat, like, Mexicans. So it was just different being there. And so when I came back, I was like, I want that here, you know? And I never had that here. And so that was my main reason of wanting to create Modern Day Mujeres, because we are not just, like, we're not under one type. Like, there's so many different kinds of us. And I don't want to be a stereotypical, like, there's no stereotype for us.
No.
We're all different. And Latina is just what we identify as. It's just something that we are. It's just, it's not, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to explain, like, what it is. But, I mean, if I had to say what a Latina was, like, I would say love, family, confident.
Food.
Awesome. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, that's something that I would kind of relate it to.
Yeah. And I think, so, like, I was born in Laredo, Texas, which is right on the border. And, like, if you didn't know Spanish, like, you were an outcast. Like, you were the minority. But, like, growing up, I didn't know, like, I didn't know we were poor growing up. We had everything we wanted. You know, it wasn't, I didn't know we were poor until, like, I grew up, and I'm like, oh shit, like, there's all these things that I didn't have, but I didn't need them, I just didn't know I didn't need them. And then, like, also, I would be very fearful of showing my Latinaness in the way I would dress, in the way I would, I wouldn't wear gold hoops, y'all, because I'm like, I don't want to be labeled as ghetto,
or chola,
I wouldn't want to speak Spanish, because I'm like, oh, someone's gonna judge me because I speak Spanish and I'm not American. And even when I would, you know, those little microaggressions that you just encounter in everyday life. I was working at Texas Roadhouse, and I was taking, there was this white family, and sometimes you can't assume they're white, because sometimes there was a lot of people from Monterrey that would come in, and they're like blonde hair, blue eyes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, Latina doesn't mean a certain way that you look, because we all are so different. But, like, so there's this white family, and I was taking their order, and the wife just looks at me and is like, oh my gosh, like, your English is so good. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm American, you know? Like, I mean, it was just, like, those things that you would just encounter, and that would stop me from being, like, very, like, voice out my Spanglishness as much. And even now, I feel like I'm embracing more being Latina and being okay with, like, I like spending time with other people in my culture. It is okay to want to be around that, and it is okay to identify as that without feeling like you have to be a certain way, or, like, without fearing that someone's gonna look at you. I mean, and everything right now with the political climate, like, right now, it's just, it's hard to identify as something when you're being seen as lazy. All these stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
Which I feel are the solar opposite, because I feel as Latinos, we're just the hardest workers I know. There are some bad apples, but there's bad apples in every single culture.
Yeah.
So thank y'all for sharing that about your Latinaness. I think that you guys really described it in a way that is you.
Yeah.
You know, that is you. So I did want to go into talking about, like, so you're creating a community, right? And we talked about that a little bit, a community that empowers women. So how do you voice that? How do you create a community? Like, how would you guys say that you started creating a community?
Just talking about our stories. talking about what we've been through and mm-hmm. having other women come on and telling their stories as well. I think that's been the biggest push, is that letting people know that they're not alone and bringing up these topics that people don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I think that has been the biggest thing. You know, we get messages from listeners and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you talked about that. I've been thinking that for so long, or uh-huh. whatever. And it's just, that's why we do what we do, mm-hmm. because we want to bring these topics to the table. We talk to them amongst our friends. Why can't we talk to them right. out loud?
Yeah. And just like embrace them and say it's okay, because I feel like so many people have the same questions, mm-hmm. you know. I wanted to do this like fun thing. There's this like article, and it is going back to like, it's 11 frequently asked questions I hate to hear as a Latina. And I just want to see your what you guys say. So
okay.
Oh yes.
You are too white to be Latina.
No.
Oh my God.
Like, and I've heard that before. Like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. What do you mean you're too white?
I hear that still to this day as a 32-year-old woman, because I don't speak Spanish. Why don't you speak Spanish? Because I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Why do I have to? I mean, that's the biggest one that bugs me. Move on.
Are you American? Do you fully understand English?
Oh, those are fighting words right there. I think I took my mom one time to, I can't remember exactly where I took her. She was with me. And we were speaking Spanish, me and my mom back and forth. And then this guy just passes by and didn't look at us, didn't, you know, say anything, but he was with, you know, it looked like his wife, it could have been his daughter, mm-hmm. I don't know, but he says to her, he's like, if, you know, if they're just gonna be here, why can't they just speak English? And we were the only two people sitting there talking, and this guy just walks past us, and it didn't click until he was gone, and I was like, my blood was boiling. At this point, I was probably like 20 years old. Had I not had my daughter, I would have said something. And probably, you know, my mom didn't really understand at that point. Like, she understands English. Like, we'll talk to my mom in English. But she won't, like, reply. Like, she's scared of her accent, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why she doesn't speak English. But she understands us. And I was so mad. I was like, if I did not have my daughter, like, I would have gone off on this guy. Like, that's just plain ignorance.
I just don't see why it matters to some people, because we go out and it, like I said, my parents were fourth, fifth generation American. So we go out and my parents speak Spanish. They speak Spanish to me and I answer in English. Mm-hmm. And so just like you, like mm-hmm. people will ask, well, how long have you been in America? My mom's like, my whole life. Where's your family from? Here. Like, you know, so what does it freaking matter? That's what bothers me.
And, you know, and people just don't know that those are like miniature microaggressions. Mm-hmm. There's this last one that I didn't want to go over, and it's Latinas are very, you fill in the blank,
feisty.
Very feisty, right? Or very like very loud. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I so many times that I've had to like felt like I had to be quieter and softer in order to not be too out there, too Latina, or uh-huh. you know, the angry Latina woman, or you know.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I think that has been always one, whenever I've gotten into a relationship that they weren't of my culture. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you're just the typical feisty Latina. I'm like, okay.
Like, just like, boy, stop.
Okay.
Like, and see, that's the thing that are not from our culture, they yeah. want. But then when they get it, they're like, that's not
they
what I want.
They can't handle it.
Can't handle it. Yeah,
that's very true.
No, yeah, I think that's feisty. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't consider us feisty. I feel like we're more passionate than anything.
That's the better word.
So
mm-hmm. I feel like we're bold. I feel like mm-hmm. we're just very, we know what we want.
Yep.
And we're gonna get out there, and we have an opinion, and we like to make sure it's heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that we're loud. It just means sometimes, I mean, my family, like, you had to be loud in order to get your yep. point across.
Oh, for
they
sure
won't listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, and I was always someone that was very soft-spoken. So they were like, hey Monica, why are you so shy? Why are you this? Why are you that? And it, like, it even comes within our own culture where we get judged for not showing what the typical or whatever it is that they want us to, they want us all to be similar. And I think as Latinas, and y'all mention it, is that we are all different and we all define it our own way.
Our own way.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So, ladies, I want to ask you, because I know we talked a little bit about your personal struggles. Are there any resources that helped you during your journey? Any podcasts or books that you felt like you want to share?
To be honest, like, the first time I had ever listened to a podcast was the podcast I was on, which was The Adolescent Parent with Brenda. And when I started listening to her podcast, I'm like, you know, she interviews parents, moms or dads that have gone through, you know, the journeys of having kids or just every journey in general. But her podcast gave me that point in time where I had a voice to speak on. She's like, oh, like, what would you guys want to hear? And I was like, I hadn't heard like a blended family. And that's what I am. I have two stepsons. And so I was like, do you have someone who's, you know, a blended family you could talk about? She's like, I really don't, but would you? And I was like, I was so scared. I was like, I don't know. But yeah, with her podcast, she was the one that kind of gave me that voice, because I had so many people outreach about talking on having stepkids and being a stepmom and, you know, my husband being a stepdad to my daughter. So when that opened up, she was probably one of the first people we reached out on. What did you use on software? What did you use on mics? And she helped us out. Like, this is what I know. This is what there is. And then from there is kind of like that stepping stone to kind of further, like, okay, well, for us, this might work, or, you know.
Yeah.
But she helped us kind of get that.
She gave us, like the tools. Blueprint. Yeah, the tools to what we needed to look for, because we had no idea. But I think that was the only person that was really close to us that's in the same, that does the same stuff as us to really kind of help us. But other than that, it's been, like, Google, YouTube, Reddit.
And we call him our business partner, Chris, or Alexander Chase, as people know him. He's been kind of like our mentor in a way, our business partner. He's the one that if we have ideas, we start bouncing them off of him. And he's like, okay, like, go do this, do that. And he's like, nope, you got to wait on that. Yeah. Or, you know, that might not be the best idea. You know, it's just like,
I think it's nice to have that person to kind of tell you, you know,
like, bring it back.
Yeah, because we just get so ambitious, and we're just like, we want to do this, this, this. And then, you know, she's like, yeah, let's do that. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then we bounce it off of him, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, hold on the break.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's awesome.
So you just need that person sometimes.
So it sounds like you all value mentorship and friendship and people who just pour onto you all.
Yeah.
Not so much a specific resource, but like, people are your resources. Other people and
absolutely.
Other
stories. But our community are our resources. Like, they're the ones that help us do everything that we do. Like, without them, I don't know if we would get very far.
Yeah, and we recently had joined Latina Podcasters on Facebook on Instagram. Them. And they're kind of also like a little go-to if we need anything. I know they do, like, often they do lives and they talk about, you know, different things as the sort of podcasting. And, you know, we've also, like, outreached and networked with other women, and, you know, we've gotten to know their podcasts as well and stuff like that. So it's just that power and community. Like, you can really find help if you look for it.
And ask questions. I think that's one thing a lot of people don't do, is ask questions because they're afraid, or maybe people may not, they feel a little bit standoffish or whatnot. So, I mean, we're an open book. We'll tell you whatever you want.
We'll tell you.
That's
awesome. Yeah. And I think it's not being afraid to ask, which I know it can be really scary, but I've had people not answer, and I know that's an answer in itself, and that's okay. But I've had people who really have helped me in this journey as well. So I'm glad that y'all shared that. Some of those two important people that have helped you during this journey. I did want to ask y'all individual, before I go into my last question, is what's your go-to mantra for yourself? Like, what can you share, a little piece of advice or mantra, to our listeners that keeps you going, helps with your mental health, or just helps you with your overall self-confidence?
You want to go, Mo?
I feel like I have so many, like, words of affirmation in the morning when I get up. Like, I just tell myself, just do it. Do it. Do it. Like,
do it like Nike.
Do it with intention, with good intention. Like, don't let it upset you. Don't sweat the small stuff. And I know that word, that mantra is, like, so old school. Don't sweat the small stuff. But literally, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's how I go throughout the day. I'm like, you know what? This person pissed me off, but I'm not going to let it get to me.
It's okay. They're not going to matter tomorrow. Yeah.
You're like, we're building better habits.
Yeah. Yes.
I think for mine, which is kind of, like, what I want, not just as much as, like, for myself, because I've recently just started, like, I've changed habits. I've, you know, I'm doing more things differently than I have in the last, like, what, 5 years? So it's taken a lot. It's not just attaining it and then you receive it. Like, it's an everyday, like, thing practice that you have to do. But for me, I write it down because I always have to go back to it. And it's, like, live less out of habit and more out of intent. Like, that, because my word for 2020 is intention, is doing everything with a purpose and have an intent for betterment, for growth, for self-love. I mean, everything in general. And I think that's my most recently mantra, I would like to say.
That's all, they're so good. So good, guys. You need to write it down. But if you're listening while you're driving, don't. but, okay, so my last question, and this is something that I ask of every podcast guest, is what is one topic you wish people would talk about more that isn't talked about enough?
I think sex and relationships, because I think there's a lot of talk of sex when you're single. You know, talk about sex in your relationship, in your marriage. Like, how do you keep that alive? I don't hear a lot about that. I don't know.
Maybe we'll do an episode. I'm married.
Yeah, I mean, y'all can talk about it. Like, what do you do when, girl, you need to still, you know,
keep it going.
Yeah. Some pleasure. Like, I mean,
where's the taboo about that? Everybody does
I mean,
it.
That's just where I'm coming from. Yeah. I mean, I don't hear about it because I hear a lot. I have, I listen to certain podcasts for, like, singles, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, they talk about sex and they go out and they just meet somebody, hook up and stuff. And so you hear that, but I'm like, I don't want to hear that anymore. Like, how do you keep sex alive in your relationship? Yeah. Because I don't want to have, like, a dead bedroom when I get married, you know? Ooh. And so that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
Especially when you're a busy mom, you know, and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, how do you manage it, you know? Definitely bring someone for that. That's a good one, though.
I think for mine, it's because I've recently spoken out about it, is even if it's family, you got to cut it out. Like, cut it off.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, cut ties. Mm-hmm. Like, I want more of that to not be a taboo thing and be an okay thing, because it... If family is family, that's fine. But if you're toxic and you do not bring anything good to the table for my family, which is my kids and my husband, then I'm okay with moving on and let it be what it be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's recently something that I've done, and I'm so happy about it, to be honest. So I wish more people would talk about it. But I know it's not an easy thing, because I guess people feel like it's still family. So,
and
there's
in our culture, it's like family's family, like you gotta deal with it. Sorry, but yeah. So, that's a really good topic, too. All right, ladies, thank you all so much for being here. I want you all to shout out your podcast. Where can people find you and all the things that you guys are doing?
Well, our Instagram and our Facebook is Modern Day Mujeres, and on Twitter, we're Modern Day Mujer. And so, we're on all major platforms, and now including iHeartRadio. And we also have a Pinterest, if you guys like that. Yeah. And we just recently started a Facebook group.
Thanks to Monica.
Yes. Your amazing idea, which, wow, like, we're up to, like, 300 members.
Almost 400.
400, yeah.
This morning.
So.
It's only been, like, 3 days.
Seriously.
It's insane.
Yeah. And so you can find it. It's linked to our Facebook page, and it's just Modern Day Mujeres.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and put it on the show notes. So thank you, ladies, so much for being here. I'm so excited. And, guys, after this, go and check out their podcast, because I'm going to be on there, and I'm going to talk all things mental health and just – answer all your burning questions. So yeah, go check that out. It was released yesterday, so go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
All right. This was fun.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cafe with Monica. If you enjoyed the episode, I want you to take a screenshot right now and share it on Instagram stories by tagging Cafe with Monica. This helps me spread the word so more and more people can hashtag just talk about it. Also, make sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes and resources from this episode. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode, so see you guys next time.